Now that Massachusetts has joined Vermont in recognizing same-sex relationships, and all these fears that people have said that same-sex relationships will be so corrosive of society are just not true, which we knew they weren't true, I think that will help us move on to other states. But it will have to be fought out state by state.
I basically was being groomed in college to be the next male Christian artist out there.
I was just so fascinated by how he had reconciled his spirituality with his sexuality.
All I long for is someone to love.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Portugal's Lesba Gays win constitutional protections, a U.S. congressman offers frank analysis of the marriage rights fight, and the spirit pop of Jason and DeMarco crosses musical bridges. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Dean Elzinga.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending August 7th, 2004. As of this month, equal treatment is guaranteed to lesbi gays by Portugal's constitution. With an amendment officially published in late July and effective in August, Article 13, which ensures that all citizens are equal before the law, now declares that no one shall be privileged or favored or discriminated against or deprived of any right or exempted from any duty by reason of his or her sexual orientation or 10 other characteristics. Only a handful of nations in the world explicitly protect lesbi gays from discrimination in their constitutions, and Portugal is the first in Europe to do so.
The European Union's executive office is taking action against several member states for failing to enact national anti-discrimination laws before a deadline a year ago. The EU directives adopted in 2000 require national legislation against employment discrimination based on a half dozen characteristics, including sexual orientation, and broader protections from racial discrimination. The European Commission is taking 5 countries to the European Court of Justice, Luxembourg and Germany for failing to report changes to their laws, and Austria, Finland, and Greece for incomplete changes. The Commission also sent a warning to Belgium. The countries will submit their responses in September.
But a court's ruling for equality was no guarantee of safety for the group Gays and Lesbians of Zimbabwe, GALS. They won a high court judgment last year to allow them to display their literature at the Zimbabwe International Book Fair. But when they actually did that this week, they were driven from their stall by a screaming mob. At least 3 GALS members staffing the booth were physically assaulted before they fled. It must have felt like deja vu when GALS first exhibited at the book fair in 1995. A mob tore their stand apart. In the years since then, the group saw a significant decrease in official repression and growth in public understanding, despite President Robert Mugabe's continuing vocal homophobia. As this year's book fair opened, GALS' presence was publicly condemned by Minister Obadiah Masindo, head of the Destiny of Africa Network, as both immoral and an attack on Mugabe.
The man most responsible for Canada's new hate crimes protections for lesbi gays, the nation's first openly gay member of parliament, Sven Robinson, this week pleaded guilty to theft. Under his conditional sentence, if he continues psychiatric counseling, performs 100 hours of community service, and passes a year's probation, he will not have a criminal record. He had already written a letter of apology to the auction company which displayed the $65,000 Canadian dollar ring he pocketed in April. He soon turned himself and the ring into police. In a public statement at the time, he blamed stress for his irrational action and ended his 25-year career in national politics by taking medical leave and withdrawing his candidacy for re-election. Throughout his career, he was a vocal advocate for equality, the environment, and peace, and a left-wing voice for conscience. This week he told the court, "This has been a shattering experience for me. I feel remorse and shame for a totally unthinkable action." The judge accepted that the hard-working MP ran himself ragged and suffered enough in the avalanche of public ignominy. When Robinson committed the theft, he'd been shopping for a ring for his partner, Max Riveron.
Also in Canada, New Brunswick's provincial government announced this week that it will be paying pension benefits to all the surviving unmarried partners of its deceased civil servants, including same-gender partners. New Brunswick's Human Resources Minister, Rosemay Poirier, said that the provincial government is fixing a loophole that it excluded those survivors from several pension plans established by legislation, including survivors of teachers and judges, among others. Non-legislative pension plans in the province already covered its workers' unmarried partners.
But the Italian government this week announced that it's taking legal action against Tuscany's new domestic partner statute, which extends many legal benefits of marriage to the region's cohabiting couples, regardless of gender. A cabinet spokesperson said the legal recognition of different forms of cohabitation is unconstitutional. Some right-wing politicians applauded the government action as a move against immorality. But some on the left said the national leader's action is inconsistent with their campaign promises to devolve power to regional councils like Tuscany's. Ironically, the coalition government's move comes just as a committee of the national parliament is about to review 5 different bills to create legal registered partnerships, and that's 5 selected from 13 such proposals submitted.
The continuing U.S. struggle over marriage equality for same-gender couples moved to the state level this week, with a legal victory in Washington and an electoral defeat in Missouri. In Seattle, King County Superior Court Judge William Downing ruled that Washington's state law restricting legal marriage to heterosexual couples violates the state constitution's guarantee of equal legal treatment. The case was brought by Lambda Legal and the Northwest Women's Law Center on behalf of 8 same-gender couples desiring marriage licenses. Downing's decision described the plaintiffs as law-abiding, tax-paying, model citizens and declared that the characteristics embodied by these plaintiffs are ones that our society needs more of, not less. There is no worthwhile institution that they would dishonor, much less destroy. But while Downing's ruling was entirely favorable to same-gender marriage, even stronger than a similar recent decision in Oregon, it's just the first round. His order to issue marriage licenses to same-gender couples is stayed, pending a ruling by the state's top court. Given there's been so much criticism of unelected activist judges, it's worth mentioning that Downing's judicial post is an elected one, and he's up for re-election this year.
But ostensibly, it's because of court rulings like his, which place so-called defensive marriage laws like Washington's on shaky ground, that conservatives are seeking to amend the U.S. Constitution and the constitutions of its individual states to restrict legal marriage to one man and one woman. The federal version failed a procedural vote on the U.S. Senate floor, but this week, Missouri was the first of what could be more than a dozen states this year to put a similar state constitutional amendment before its citizens. The result was conclusive. The measure passed in every single county with a landslide 70% majority overall in unofficial results. Missouri becomes the 5th state to constitutionally deny marriage to same-gender couples.
More individuals voted on the proposed amendment than any other issue or office on the ballot, and the voter turnout of nearly 43% was the state's highest for a primary election in at least a quarter century and far above average. That's significant because Democrats have accused Republicans of pushing the issue solely to motivate their religious right base to go to the polls, with the expectation that once there, they'd support the re-election of Republican President George W. Bush. So many pundits are reading the Missouri turnout as a hopeful sign for the president. Yet it's also been noted that the bulk of those voters were Democrats. Louisiana is expected to vote on a similar state constitutional amendment in mid-September, unless a legal challenge stops it. At least 8 and possibly 11 or more states will consider their own constitutional amendments in the November plebiscite.
Australian Prime Minister John Howard this week declared an entirely different strategy. He wants to see his government's proposals against gay and lesbian couples enacted before he calls the next federal election. He told the Religious Right National Marriage Coalition's National Forum in Canberra, "I think it would be a great pity if this issue were left hanging in an election campaign. If people who criticize me say, 'Oh, well, it's just a political diversion,' well, I would say to them, remove the diversion by putting the law through before the election starts. Everyone can say it's a united expression of the national parliament and therefore the will of the Australian people." What Howard's government has tried twice already this year to ram through the parliament is a move to deny legal recognition to both marriages and adoptions by same-gender couples, particularly those performed outside the country. One version has been referred to a Senate committee for an inquiry process, including a legal review and an opportunity for public comment.
But this time, Howard is splitting off the adoptions element, and the largest opposition party, the Australian Labor Party, is throwing its support behind his marriage ban. The ALP's spokesperson on legal issues, Nicola Roxon, followed Howard to the podium, noted the party supports hetero-exclusive marriage, and told the crowd they could look forward to a vote within 2 weeks. In a later press release, she promised that if her party takes the reins after the election, they will thoroughly review and revise federal legislation to remove discrimination against gay and lesbian couples, with the Marriage Act being the sole exception. To the outrage of other opposition parties and lesbi-gay activists, it now appears that Howard's marriage ban will be reintroduced and passed by the House in the coming week, circumventing the Senate inquiry process.
And finally, since its inception, reality television has brought celebrity to a number of gays and lesbians. But the winner this week of Britain's fifth edition of Big Brother and its £63,500 prize was a trans woman, Nadia Almada. Competitors were unaware of Almada's past life as Jorge, but the audience knew, and of the nearly 6.5 million viewers who voted, 3 out of 4 chose her over the runner-up, a male nude model. Among the other contestants was an open lesbian who also identifies as anarchist. So it's hardly surprising that she was eliminated for breaking rules.
That's News Wrap for the week ending August 7th, 2004, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Dean Elzinga.
The breakthrough CD of a queer Christian duo is really good news for people in need of an inclusive spiritual message. You'll hear their story and their music later in the program.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage.
When U.S. Congressman Barney Frank came out in 1987, he was one of a kind. Frank, who entered local Boston politics in the late 1960s, served in the Massachusetts State House for 7 years before being elected to the U.S. House of Representatives in 1980, and his constituents have returned him to Washington every 2 years since. Although he's no longer the only open gay or lesbian in Congress, he's still very much one of a kind, from his feisty defense of President Bill Clinton during the Whitewater investigation to his engaging off-the-teleprompter gay agenda speech at last month's Democratic National Convention. Frequently controversial even when it comes to queer political strategy, Frank discusses the status of the battle for equal marriage rights in the current U.S. election year context with This Way Out's John Beaupre.
My concern was over these marriages like in San Francisco and elsewhere, which unfortunately for the people involved probably weren't marriages because they were not in compliance with the law. And I think that detracted from our ability to defend the Massachusetts marriages. That is, I thought the important thing to do was to defend marriage where we have it. It is also important for us to defeat the federal constitutional amendment. And I thought an outbreak nationally of kind of civil disobedience marriages would hurt politically without advancing the cause because nobody's getting married. I think what George Bush did by coming out for this amendment, what the Republicans are doing by bringing it forward, is trying to appease their right wing, which finds this notion of lesbians in love terribly threatening for some reason. They had hoped that this was going to be a big plus for them. I don't think it's been a big plus for them at all, and I don't know how it winds up, but there are positives and negatives. It clearly has galvanized the gay and lesbian community. I've been impressed, frankly, with the intellectual integrity of the current leadership of the Log Cabin Republicans. I haven't always felt that they were putting principle ahead of partisanship, but in this case they are. And Bush's support of this amendment has clearly driven away a number of gay and lesbian Republicans, gay mostly, there weren't a lot of lesbian Republicans, and that's going to hurt them. So they firm up their right-wing hardcore, but they alienate some others.
That being said, what is your sort of emotional feeling about the Democratic candidate at this point? Are you encouraged by his candidacy or his policies at this point, or are you discouraged by the fact that he hasn't spoken out more forcefully?
He has a very good record on gay rights. No group such as ours, which is pushing the envelope, should really expect that the presidential candidate is going to endorse everything we are supporting. That hasn't been the case for environmentalists or African Americans or others. John Kerry's record in his Senate career on GLBT rights is a superb one. In 1985, when he was a freshman senator, he became the lead sponsor of what was then the most controversial bill, the gay rights bill against employment discrimination, because, frankly, a lot of other people didn't want to do it. He'll be great on gays in the military. And on the constitutional amendment, he's spoken out strongly against it. But the federal government does not decide who gets married or not. What's at the federal level is whether or not you recognize same-sex and other kinds of marriages or civil unions. John Kerry is firmly against the constitutional amendment. He is also, as one of the few senators who voted against the Defense of Marriage Act in 1996, committed to undoing a big part of that, which says the federal government won't recognize any same-sex relationship. And he has said that while he's for civil unions and not marriage, he is committed to making sure that the federal government fully recognized civil unions, and every benefit that the federal government would confer on a married couple would be available if a state wanted to make it available for same-sex couples, whether it was called marriage or civil union. There are two issues here. Will some states recognize same-sex marriages in Massachusetts? Most probably at this point will not. A few will, but it'll be up to them. It won't be up to the federal government, I believe. Secondly, will some states themselves not just recognize Massachusetts same-sex marriages, but go forward with them? The answer is probably some over the next few years. I think what will happen is, now that Massachusetts has joined Vermont in recognizing same-sex relationships, and now that we are in a position to show that all these fears that people have said that same-sex relationships will be so corrosive of society are just not true, which we knew they weren't true, I think that will help us move on to other states. But it will have to be fought out state by state.
Last question. When we talk about significant movements on these issues or gay-friendly issues and the balance between executive branches in the states and the federal government, the judicial branches and the legislative branches, where do you think the big battles are going to be or the most significant battles that we will see progress on these fronts?
Well, first of all, we have to defeat the federal constitutional amendment. If that were to have won, it would have shut off any chance of progress in the state. We're going to win that one, I'm pretty sure. And we're going to win it decisively enough so that I don't think you'll see it come back. Then it'll be a state-by-state issue, and I can't give you a model. There'll be some states where it'll be done by the state Supreme Court, as it was in Massachusetts, and perhaps upheld by the legislature. There may be places where the legislature will do it. Well, right now, we don't seem to have majority support in the legislature. Once we have the Massachusetts experience, and once people see that Massachusetts helped some people and enriched some lives and did no damage to anybody else, then it may move. So we know there'll be some states over the next 5 years that I believe will move this way. It's impossible to tell at this point which ones they'll be or whether they'll do it through a state Supreme Court decision, because I do think there may be some cases where it could be done legislatively.
That was U.S. Congressman Barney Frank with This Way Out's John Beaupre.
Hi, this is Janice Ian, and you're listening to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. Support your local public radio station. You ain't gonna get this nowhere else.
It's often difficult for gay, lesbian, bi, and trans people to reconcile their sexuality and gender identity with their religious backgrounds. So when the rising singing duo Jason and DeMarco embraced a genre which could be called out-of-the-closet Christian music, This Way Out's Steve Pride found his curiosity roused.
3 years ago, when Christian singer Jason Warner met pop singer Marco De Checho in a Hollywood restaurant, something clicked. Today, not only are they still together, but they perform together as Jason and DeMarco, and their new album is called, appropriately enough, Spirit Pop. In person, they're sweet, clean-cut, and refreshingly exuberant.
All I long for is someone to understands me, who sees me as I am.
Hi, I'm Jason. I had actually been traveling in a solo ministry before DeMarco and I met. So when we met about 3 years ago, we developed our personal relationship. And then about a year into our relationship, we actually began traveling and touring together musically. My entire life, I was raised in ministry. My mom sang, and so I would travel and sing with her. And then after traveling with her and graduating high school and going to college, I basically was being groomed in college to be the next male Christian artist out there. And I actually, after graduating college, did travel with a band. We were about to be signed by Curb Records, And it was at that point that I was exhausted of living the two lives. You know, I basically just felt like I couldn't do it anymore. And especially with being ready to be signed, you know, I thought if this happens later, it could be a scandal. You know, people could take things. And, you know, I didn't want to do that to myself or the group. And so I came out to the group and I was immediately told to get out of the group. And, you know, that's really what began me on my own soul search, because that's what I had worked my entire life to get to. And suddenly, not just had I come out to the band, but I had come out to the Christian music industry and realized that basically that dream was completely gone in 1 minute. Thank God I was given the book Stranger at the Gate that was written by Mel White. And I read that book, and that was the first time I had any introduction to an affirming church or a gay-friendly church. I didn't even know the two existed. To me, gay and Christian were definitely not two words to be put in the same phrase.
I'm DeMarco. I grew up in an Italian Catholic community called Woodbridge, and that was in a suburb of Toronto. And I moved to Los Angeles 5 years ago, where I grew up. Catholic, I think, was more of a culture than it was a religion for us, because we would maybe go to church as a family 5 or 6 times a year. And yet we had all of the ideas of the Catholic religion operating in our life every day, the things that the Catholic Church kind of preaches on. Now, there was no such thing as traveling music ministry or praise and worship, at least in my church. I haven't been to a lot of other Catholic churches, but I have a feeling there isn't much praise and worship going on. So this whole thing of lifting up Jesus Christ and God through music in church was completely new to me when I met Jason. And I was just so fascinated by how he had reconciled his spirituality with his sexuality and how he had found his way back to God and back to ministry. And it was one of the first things that kind of connected me spiritually to this man.
Do you ever wonder who meets you in your dreams at night? Who fills your heart with hope and holds you tight? Do you ever wonder who can take away your deepest fears? Unlock your heart's desire and dry your tears.
Even though we consider our personal faith Christian, we respect all walks of faith. We respect many spiritual paths, and we don't all have to agree, but we can agree to even disagree, but to do it in love. And that we can also share in our music, especially the new album, Spirit Pop. It's pop music that simply has an underlying spiritual message, but it's not in your face. It's fun music. It's about real life. It's about all the issues that we all face, regardless of which religious denomination you come from, which faith you come from, which gender, which your ethnicity. You know, it's basically just that we all are living this life trying to do the best that we can do.
There isn't really any staging or any kind of theatrical aspect to our shows. I mean, nothing's really scripted. We just go up there with these songs we wrote and we tell a story about what inspired them. And it's all consistent with who we are. We kind of like to think we represent the other side of the gay community. And that's not the part of the community that's out at the white parties and doing the dance clubs and the bars all night long, which is fine. We're not judging that. It's just not who we are. And I think it's important for the right-wing Christians to see that just like there's different sides of the straight community. For example, Margaret Thatcher and Courtney Love are two straight women, and they live totally different lives. It's the same thing in the gay community. There's men that are having a great time and celebrating being gay and self-expressed in nightclubs, you know, many nights of the week. And then there's guys like us who, you know, travel and ministry. There's that side of the community too.
I am my daddy's little boy, searching in my life, trying to find all the things that make me feel alright. I know my choices have been hard, for you to understand. Not made for you, they're made for me.
I would think that when you have a very religious background and family, being gay is bad enough, but to be a gay Christian, you're almost challenging their faith.
I really have learned that it's not about debating issues with them. I mean, I've gone through the Bible scriptures. I've gone through my own personal journey. And, you know, I think it's hard for a child because we simply want to trust that our parents would believe us and know that we would not be this way unless there was no other option. And I think it's difficult because parents, I think they somewhere deep down think, well, you're making this choice. You don't have to be doing this. And my parents, I think, are finally coming to a place. And I know one thing that's helped them is the emails that we do get. And from getting literally hundreds of emails, I forward them to my parents. And my parents have read them. And it's funny, I actually was talking to my dad yesterday. And he told me, he said, you know, keep sending those emails, because he said, I finally understand that the people that are dealing with this issue aren't not making a choice, that this is who they are, and they're just trying to make the best of it. And when my dad said that to me, I thought, oh my gosh. I mean, that was a huge thing for my dad to actually, you know, he said so many, and he said, including me, used to believe that this was just a perverted lifestyle and that people just chose to live it because it's just, you know, it was a sexual addiction or, you know, and for the first time, he's realizing that this is a sexual orientation that cannot be changed and that is who someone is. And when someone is dealing with that, that truly all we want is to find someone to love, who understands us, who sees us as we are, and who loves us as we are.
For more information about Jason and DeMarco or their album Spirit Pop, point your internet browser to jasonanddemarco.com. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
All I long for is someone to love, who understands me, who sees me as I am. I have so many questions. My eyes are full of pain. The skies withhold the answers to a passing day. Alive with no more purpose, a dream with no more shine. Only wanting one thing, to leave the past behind. All I long for is someone to love, who understands me, who sees me as I am.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Dean Elzinga, Graham Underhill, Rex Walkner, John Beaupre, and Steve Pride contributed program material, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded through direct charitable donations from our listeners, and we thank you. Only you can keep this program on the air and get some queer history, music, and culture on specially produced CDs in the bargain, too. For all the details, please do log on to thiswayout.org or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on KMUD&E, Garberville and Eureka, California, Planet FM, Auckland, New Zealand, WOMR, Provincetown, Massachusetts, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.